Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. You know, it's fascinating. Even though former President Biden tried to limit oil and gas drilling, America actually produced more oil than ever before while he was in office.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? Now that President Trump is back in the White House,
right?
We're taking a look at what Biden did for the environment.
Right.
And what might change now that there's a new administration.
Yeah.
You know, what's his environmental legacy?
Right.
And will it last?
Well, it's a mixed bag for sure, and President Trump's ideas about climate change and energy are pretty different from Biden's.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah.
So where do we even begin with all this?
Well, Biden did a lot to protect our land and water, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He also spent a lot of time trying to undo the changes that the previous Trump administration made to environmental rules.
So it's almost like they were playing tug of war with the environment.
Exactly.
Right. One pulling this way, the other pulling that way.
Yeah, exactly. And we can see that play out in a few key areas. How we deal with climate change and air pollution drilling for oil and gas, keeping our chemicals safe, protecting natural areas, and deciding what happens with offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, so those are the battlegrounds, so to speak.
Yeah.
But President Trump has already hinted that he wants to change a lot of what Biden did. Is that even possible? I mean, it seems like it could turn into a legal mess.
Oh, you better believe there will be some legal fights. Let's start with climate change and air pollution. Under Biden, the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, the EPA, they made stricter rules about greenhouse gases coming from cars and power plants.
Right. Those rules are supposed to help us avoid the worst effects of climate change, right?
Exactly. But President Trump might try to get rid of those rules. It won't be easy, though. States and environmental groups will probably sue to keep the rules in place. Plus, some car companies have put so much money into building electric vehicles that they might not want to go back to the old ways.
That's interesting. It's like the car industry is on a different track now.
Yeah.
And they can't just switch back so easily.
You got it. And one rule to watch carefully is the one about power plants. Trump has said he wants to get rid of it completely, and that could be a huge deal for those power plants that still burn coal.
It sounds like this rule is really at the heart of the fight over climate change. What about the science, though? Can legal challenges based on scientific evidence actually stop Trump from changing these rules?
It's possible. The courts could have a big say in what happens. Remember, it's not just about politics. It's about what the law says and what the science shows.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, on to something that seems a bit puzzling.
Okay.
Oil production in the U.S. reached record highs under Biden, even though his administration was trying to limit drilling. How is that possible?
Well, President Trump has been criticizing Biden's energy policies from the start. He wants to make America energy dominant again, which basically means drilling more.
So does that mean opening up more federal lands to drilling? Places like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, you know, ANWR. I know that's been a controversial topic for years.
That's definitely on the table. But we can't just ignore the environmental impact of drilling more, especially in places like ANWR+. Oil companies already have a bunch of permits they haven't even used yet. They might not be so eager to drill in new areas.
Why wouldn't they want to drill if they have the permits?
Well, the oil market can be pretty unpredictable. And there's been a big push for cleaner energy sources. It's a complex situation for those companies. Plus, they actually want some rules about methane emissions because it helps them be more efficient and not waste gas.
So there's actually some agreement there. Who would have thought? It seems like there's a lot more nuance to this than just drill more or drill less.
Exactly. It's never that simple.
You know, before we go any further, I want to remind everyone to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on social media. He breaks down all this stuff in a way that's easy to understand. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, TikTok at TV meteorologist, and on YouTube at Rob Jones Hurricane. He even has a playlist there for our podcast Meteorology Matters, so be sure to check it out. All right, let's move on to chemical safety. The EPA under Biden did a lot to ban or restrict some really harmful chemicals. Asbestos, lead, PFAS, those forever chemicals that you hear so much about.
Right.
But I've read about those forever chemicals.
Yeah.
It seems like they never really go away, which is scary. But I imagine the EPA faced a lot of opposition from industries when they tried to ban these chemicals.
Oh, absolutely. Banning toxic chemicals is always a fight. There's a lot of pushback from the companies that make them, and the process for banning them is really complicated. Plus, we've got a new player in the game now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. He's got some strong opinions about these chemicals, too.
That's right. He's been very vocal about public health. Do you think he'll try to change what the EPA has already done?
It's hard to say for sure, but he could definitely shake things up.
Now let's talk about conservation. Biden wanted to protect 30% of America's lands and waters by 2030, his 30 by 30 goal. He also created and expanded some national monuments, which protects millions of acres from development. Seems like a lot.
It was a big step, especially compared to what happened under the previous Trump administration, which shrunk some national monuments, particularly in Utah. So you've got these two very different approaches to conservation, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
It sounds like we're back to that tug of war again. But I'm guessing it's more than just a difference of opinion, right? There are probably legal questions about whether a president can just create or change national monuments like that.
Absolutely. There are definitely legal questions about how much power the president actually has when it comes to national monuments. This could even end up going all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow, that's a big deal. But even beyond the legal stuff, I imagine there's a lot of tension between wanting to protect these areas and the people who want to use them for things like logging or mining.
You're absolutely right. It's a tough balance to strike between conservation and economic interests, especially in places where there are a lot of natural resources.
All right, let's move on to our last topic for this section, offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Biden's administration came up with a plan, but it only allows for a very limited amount of drilling. In fact, it's the smallest offshore drilling plan in history.
That's right, and it caused a lot of controversy. Environmental groups were happy about it, but the oil industry and some lawmakers were not. They argued that it would hurt our energy independence and kill jobs.
So what happens now? With a Republican-controlled Congress, will they try to overturn this plan and allow more drilling? Especially with the possibility of those tax cuts expiring.
That's definitely a possibility. Congress has a lot of power over what happens with offshore drilling, and they might try to use that power to push for more drilling. They can even link it to the budget or tax negotiations.
So it's like using the budget as leverage to get what they want on offshore drilling.
That's one way to look at it. It just shows how complex these issues really are and how environmental policy is often intertwined with other political priorities.
Wow. It's like we're peeling back the layers of an onion. And each layer reveals another layer of complexity.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. We're digging into what Biden did for the environment and what might change now that Trump is back in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every decision has these ripple effects, right? You change one thing and it impacts everything else.
Absolutely. Everything's connected. Remember how we were talking about drilling and methane? Well, Biden's administration finalized a rule to limit methane leaks from oil and gas operations on public lands.
Oh, right. Methane is a really powerful greenhouse gas. Even worse than carbon dioxide when it comes to trapping heat. So stopping those leaks seems like a big deal for the climate.
You are absolutely right. This rule, which was put in place by the Bureau of Land Management, tries to encourage companies to capture that methane instead of just letting it escape into the atmosphere.
It's good for the environment.
Yeah.
And could even help those companies make more money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, captured methane is basically natural gas they can sell.
Exactly. But this is where things get a little tricky with the new administration.
How so? I thought Trump was all about energy dominance. Wouldn't capturing more methane actually help with that?
That's a good question. Trump has said he wants to cut back on regulations that he thinks are holding back the energy industry. He might see this methane rule as one of those unnecessary burdens.
But that seems a bit contradictory, doesn't it? If you want more American energy, why not make sure we're capturing as much natural gas as possible?
Well, the oil and gas industry has actually been supportive of methane regulations in the past. They see it as a way to be more efficient and reduce waste, which can help their bottom line. So it's possible that this is one area where there might be some agreement between the two administrations.
That would be a nice change. It's good to know that even in this politically charged atmosphere, there's still room for common sense solutions.
Absolutely. Let's not forget that finding solutions requires looking at all sides of the issue.
Okay, let's shift gears and talk about what happened in Alaska. Biden took steps to protect millions of acres of public lands from drilling and mining, specifically in an area called D1 lands.
Right. These lands are super important for Alaska Native communities, for wildlife, and for preserving some of those amazing wild places that Alaska is known for.
Yeah, I can see why protecting those lands would be a big deal for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing not everyone was happy about it.
You're right. There was definitely pushback. Remember how the previous Trump administration wanted to open up those areas for development? They tried to reverse the protections, but they didn't manage to finalize those changes before leaving office.
So Biden's actions basically put those protections back in place, right?
Exactly. And it sets the stage for another potential showdown with the new administration.
Do you think Trump will try to reverse those protections again now that he's back in office?
It's certainly a possibility. Remember, he's been very vocal about wanting to increase energy production on federal lands, and Alaska, with all its oil and gas reserves, is a prime target for that.
Yeah, I can see how that would create a real dilemma. On one hand, you have the potential economic benefits of drilling, but on the other hand, you have the environmental impact and the concerns of indigenous communities who rely on those lands.
It's a classic example of the tension between economic development and environmental protection.
And it seems like we keep coming back to that tension.
It's a recurring theme in environmental policy, and it's something that we'll probably continue to grapple with for years to come. Speaking of recurring themes, we also have to talk about that offshore drilling plan in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right, Biden's plan was super limited, with only 3 lease sales planned through 2029. That's a tiny fraction of what we've seen in the past.
That's why it sparked so much debate. Environmental groups were thrilled, but the oil industry and some lawmakers were furious. They argued that it would hurt our energy independence and lead to job losses.
So what do you think will happen now? Will this Republican-controlled Congress try to push for more offshore drilling?
It's certainly a possibility they could try to pass legislation that requires more lease sales, maybe even tying it to things like the budget or tax policy.
So it's like using the budget as leverage to get what they want on offshore drilling.
That's one way to look at it. It just shows how complex these issues really are and how environmental policy is often intertwined with other political priorities.
Wow. It's like we're peeling back the layers of an onion, and each layer reveals another layer of complexity.
It's true. And we haven't even touched on some of the more localized environmental issues that Biden tackled, like protecting specific rivers and lakes or trying to improve air quality in cities.
Right. It's a reminder that environmental policy isn't just about these big national decisions. It's also about what happens in our own backyards and our communities.
Exactly. And sometimes those local issues can be even more contentious because they directly impact people's lives and livelihoods.
You know, it's fascinating how this deep dive into Biden's environmental legacy is revealing not just what he did, but also the deeper tensions and trade-offs that are always present when we try to balance environmental protection with economic development.
It's a constant balancing act, and there's no easy answer.
Before we move on to talk about the potential legal battles that could erupt over these policy changes, let's take a moment to acknowledge what Biden achieved in the realm of conservation.
You're right. He really made his mark on protecting public lands and waters. Creating those new national monuments and restoring protections that had been rolled back, that's a significant legacy.
It definitely is. But as we've been discussing, the question now is how much of that legacy will survive under this new political landscape?
That's the big question, and it's one that we'll be exploring in the next part of our Meteorology Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. We've been talking about all this stuff former President Biden did for the environment and how things might change now that President Trump's back in charge. And it seems like we can't talk about any of this without thinking about the legal battles that are probably going to happen.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Lawsuits are basically guaranteed when you've got such a big shift in environmental policy.
Right.
Remember, we've got this system of checks and balances, and the courts are a huge part of that.
So where do you think those legal challenges will pop up? I mean, we've talked about drilling permits and air pollution regulations, all of that stuff.
Right.
But what are like the biggest legal issues that could actually come up?
Well, one of the most important areas to watch is the EPA's power to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. That was like the cornerstone of Biden's whole climate agenda, using the EPA to put stricter rules in place for power plants and cars.
Right, because those are two of the biggest sources of greenhouse gases, and those gases are what's driving climate change.
Exactly. But the legal basis for those EPA regulations has been challenged before.
Oh, really?
And it's probably going to be challenged again now that Trump is in office.
So are you saying this could end up in the Supreme Court?
Oh, it's definitely possible. And the outcome of a Supreme Court case like that could completely change how we deal with climate change here in the U.S.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It just shows how everything's connected, you know, the politics, the law, the science, it's all tied together.
You're exactly right. And speaking of science, another area where we could see some legal challenges is the protection of endangered species. Remember, Biden's administration reversed some of those Trump-era changes that weakened protections for certain species.
Right. It seems like those endangered species listings are always causing problems.
Oh, you're telling me. We can definitely expect pushback from all those industry groups and landowners who say that protecting these species just hurts their businesses.
So more lawsuits, more court battles, and potentially years of legal arguing.
Yeah, it's a long process and it can be frustrating, but that's just how our legal system works. It's designed so that everybody gets to have their say, and those big decisions are made really carefully.
Okay, I get it. It's not always pretty, but it's important to have those legal safeguards. But even beyond the specific legal challenges, what about just the overall approach to environmental enforcement? Like, will the Trump administration be as aggressive as Biden's was in going after companies or people who break environmental laws?
That's a good question. Will we see a more laid-back approach with more emphasis on voluntary compliance, or are they going to really come down hard on the rule breakers? I guess we'll have to see, but how much they enforce the rules can really determine if the regulations are actually effective.
Right, it's one thing to have a rule in a book, but it's another thing to actually make sure people follow it. I bet environmental groups are going to be keeping a close eye on this.
Oh, absolutely. But let's not forget about public opinion. That plays a huge role, too. All this awareness about climate change and other environmental issues, it's grown so much in recent years. And that puts pressure on the people in charge to actually do something.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like more and more people are worried about the environment, and they're not afraid to say something about it.
Exactly. But public opinion can change so quickly. And it's shaped by what we see in the news, how the economy is doing, what politicians are saying. The Trump administration is definitely going to try and sway people's opinions on environmental issues.
So it's a battle for hearts and minds, not just in the courts and Congress, but also in the media and among everyday people.
Exactly. That's why it's so important for everyone to stay informed, have those conversations, and make their voices heard. We can't just sit around and let other people decide the future of our environment.
That's a good point.
Well, we've definitely covered a lot in our look into Biden's environmental legacy, what he did, the challenges that are coming up, and the possibility of some serious legal and political fights. It's definitely a complicated and constantly changing situation.
It really is, but one thing is clear. The decisions that are made over the next few years are going to have a huge impact on the health of our planet and the generations to come. We all have a part to play.
Absolutely. As we try to figure out this whole thing, we have to rely on the science. We have to listen to each other, even when we disagree. And we got to be willing to talk and work together. That's the only way we're going to find solutions that work for everyone.
I couldn't agree more. So as we wrap up this episode of Meteorology Matters, we'll leave you with this. What role will you play in shaping the future of environmental policy? Think about it, talk about it, and most importantly, do something about it. Thanks for listening to us on this deep dive into a topic that's so important for all of us. And hey, don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram and TikTok at meteorologist and YouTube at Rob Jones Hurricane. He's got even more great insights over there. You can also find Meteorology Matters in his podcast playlist.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.